Good afternoon, this is Ketchel Kirkham with Looking Up, a few minutes at the end of the week to think about astronomical things. Last week I touched on NASA's return to the moon and the Artemis program. This was unveiled by NASA in mid-May this year and aims to put astronauts on the lunar surface in 2024 and give us the first female moonwalker. Preparations for Artemis have already begun as NASA gets set for the maiden flight of its space launch system, Rocket, next year. The giant booster, which is taller than a 30-story building, will blast a crew capsule called Orion on an uncrewed mission to the moon and back. That will be followed in 2022 by a test with up to 4 astronauts aboard, and after that, the construction of a small station in orbit around the moon. NASA will dock a lunar lander there in 2024. That same year, 4 astronauts will fly in the Orion capsule to the station, board the lander and descend to the lunar surface. So we've got 4 or 5 years to wait. Well, here's some more tidbits about that mission to the moon. Robots are going to sniff out pits. Yes, pits in the moon for astronaut homes. This is not a sentence you get to say every day. Researchers are working to build robots that can explore moon pits, sinkhole-like structures that could be full of resources and could even make good astronaut homes. The $2 million research initiative awarded to roboticists at Carnegie Mellon University will help robots specialized to enter moon pits. The $2 million research initiative awarded to roboticists at Carnegie Mellon University will help develop robots specialized to enter moon pits. Researchers consider those pits a key priority for the resource use and habitat construction they see as part of future lunar development. The pits in question resemble sinkholes here on Earth. While craters on the moon are created from impacts with objects like asteroids, these pits form when the moon's surface collapses. Some scientists suspect that these pits could reveal larger caverns under the moon's surface that could protect humans from radiation. But we can't know for sure without looking inside, and that would be dangerous for humans to do. So in order to find out for sure how well these pits could work for future lunar inhabitants and what the features might contain, NASA wants robots that can explore the depressions. Are there overhangs? Could a robot rappel in? Might there be a fissure, a cavern or cave opening? Is there a way in, and how fragile might any cave be? Creating robots capable of such a mission will be a tricky feat. These robots will have to be fast and agile, traversing many kilometres over a variety of types of terrain. They will also have to be able to know their way home to a companion lander that will be better able to communicate with Earth. The rovers will also need exploration autonomy, or the ability to make their own judgments about where exactly to go and how close to get to the edge of those moon pits. Last week's Looking Up broadcast was about machine learning, and undoubtedly similar techniques in artificial intelligence will be used in programming these robots to amass a lot of data and make decisions. There's a lot of work going on in the area of inhabiting distant planets. A fellow student of mine, Riddhi Maharaj, at Space Lab at the University of Cape Town, was working on using lunar regolith, that is the equivalent of soil, in creating parts for a moon base using a 3D printer. The idea being that if you take a 3D printer to the moon, you can print your own pipes and such. I don't think she actually wished to visit the moon and try it out, though. Anyhow, there's a Looking Up podcast about it way back in 2016. I think if you wanted to sift back through the back catalogue on the FMR Looking Up podcast website. So here's the thing. If you come from Earth, you are an Earthling. From Mars, you are a Martian. So what are people called who live on the moon? Loonies, perhaps? Enough of that. It's the winter solstice today, an event occurring when the sun reaches the most southerly excursion relative to the celestial equator on the celestial sphere. Or for the non-astronomer, after which the days get longer, and unfortunately for optical astronomers, the nights get shorter. For now, this is Ketchel Kirkham wishing us clear skies. FMR.